Good morning, members, and welcome to the Choice and Innovation Subcommittee meeting. We will start with our call. And I call this meeting to order. Thank you. Misty, please call the roll.
Chair Rizzo.
Here.
Vice Chair Michael.
Here.
Ranking Member Valdez.
Present.
Representative Altman.
Here.
Representative Amnesty.
Here.
Representative Baker.
Here.
Representative Bankson.
Here.
Representative Basabi.
Here.
Representative Chambliss.
Here.
Representative Dunkley.
Here.
Representative Garcia is excused. Representative McLean.
Here.
Representative Nixon is excused. Representative Persons Mulica.
Here.
Representative Porras.
Here.
Representative Roach.
Present.
Representative Stark. Representative Waldron.
Here.
Thank you, members, and by your presence, we have a quorum. Members, please remember to silence all electronic devices. Please be recognized by the chair before addressing the committee or our presenters, and make sure your microphones are on and after you've been recognized, and then turn them off once you're done. I would like to just start off by thanking the speaker for his trust in me to chair this great committee, and it's an honor to serve with all of you, and it's great to see that we have on a Thursday morning, we have a full house. Thank you all. We're not going to do the usual round table of hellos and welcomes. I think we're all back from our recess, and we've all done that already, but I would like to ask our vice chair and our ranking member to say a few words. So with that, Vice Chair Michael, would you please?
Well, thank you so much, Mr. Chair, and thank you to Ranking Member Valdez. I want to thank the Speaker as well for his just having hope and trust in me to be able to serve on this committee, and thank you to all the members who also serve as well, and I look forward to this great time. I think this is going to be the best, most exciting committee that we have thus far, so thank you.
Thank you, Vice Chair. And with that, Ranking Member Valdez, you're recognized.
Thank you very much, Chair Rizzo, and good morning, committee members and Vice Chair Michael. Good morning. I'm Representative Susan Valdez, hailing from the District 64 in Hillsborough County, which is in Tampa, Florida. So when you fly into the district, into Tampa, you're in my district. So welcome to Tampa when you do come. I really am enjoying this committee. I've been serving on this committee for a little bit, and we've seen the great work that has come out of this committee. So I'm looking forward to working with each and every one of you in this coming remaining committee weeks and coming session to see how else we can continue to support children in their academic journey in the K-12, or I should say pre-K-12, because we need to remember that our pre-Kers are extremely important to the successes of our traditional K-12. So with that said, I'm ready to get it going. So thank you, Chair Rizzo, and let's do this.
All right. Thank you. And with that also, I'd like to say that everyone in education does acknowledge that we have the best staff in the entire Capitol. So with that, we're very excited to always have our great staff with us. Look, they're buzzing me. Someone's saying, no, stop. Don't give them so many accolades. It gets to their heads, but can't help it. Anyway, thank you. So members, this morning, this subcommittee will have presentations or a series of presentations on innovations in charter school sponsorship and support in Florida. Our first presenters will be representatives from Tallahassee Community College. In 2021, the legislature authorized Florida's public state universities and colleges to sponsor charter schools to meet workforce demands. Tallahassee Community College launched the first college-sponsored charter school in the state this year, the Tallahassee Collegiate Academy. Today's TCC will highlight the innovation happening at their Collegiate Academy. We will also have a presentation from our representatives with the Florida Institute for Charter School Innovation at Miami-Dade College. In 2022, this legislature established the Institute, and today they will share the work that they are undertaking to support charter school sponsors in Florida and the resources, training, and research that they are conducting, which seeks to innovate high-quality charter school practices in our state. So with that, we will start with Tallahassee Collegiate Academy. Presenting today from Tallahassee Community College is Dr. Calandra Stringer, Vice President of Academic Affairs and Provost for TCC, and Mr. David Clark, Vice Chair, Tallahassee Collegiate Academy Governing Board. Dr. Stringer, Mr. Clark, is Mr. Clark here? Hey, there he is. Sorry, didn't see you there. Dr. Stringer, Mr. Clark, thank you for being here. You are recognized to present.
Thank you for allowing TCC to be present today to present. And so today, I want to take you on a journey, and it is a very unique journey, but it is the journey of the path that we took to become a charter school sponsor. And I also want to talk about the path that we went through in order to successfully launch the Tallahassee Collegiate Academy. So I do want to thank this committee because as we talk about the timeline and the laws of Florida that was passed, it was your innovation here that actually allowed the Florida College System institutions to become sponsors of charter schools. So we do appreciate that. And that launched our timeline to where we received a generous gift from the governor of $2 million. And with that gift, it allowed us to really think outside the box. How can we create an early career technical education charter school? And with that, how do we actually become a sponsor so that we can realize our vision to come forth? So in February 2022, we received the gift from the governor. August 2022 was when the rule was actually approved that allowed us to have the guidelines that we needed in order to apply to become a charter school sponsor. So in January 2023, Tallahassee Community College became the first Florida college system institution to actually be a charter school sponsor. So we were very excited about that. But I got to tell you, the way we work is once we received the $2 million from the governor, we were off to the races. We were trying to think, what do we need to do so that we can really look at how do we continue to be flexible and offer that quality education to students in our local community? So once we received our approval to become a charter school sponsor, we went ahead and established the Tallahassee Collegiate Academy, which is the charter school that's sponsored by Tallahassee Community College. So the charter school sponsors or founders, they actually submitted their charter school application to TCC. Our Board of Trustees approved the application, and we are so happy that we opened our doors in August of this year. So three months and running. So one of the things that's very important to us, Tallahassee Community College, is that we wanted to make sure that we understood why we were being a sponsor. We don't take this lightly. In the higher education realm, we wanted to make sure that we're looking at why are we doing this, and it's really about providing choices to families, choices to students. We wanted to be able to move the needle when it came to economic mobility, and we wanted to do it as quickly as possible, accelerating students, getting them into the workforce as quickly as possible, creating that talent pipeline. That was very important, and that really drove our vision when we looked at why do we want to become a sponsor. So as we journey through this and we identified our vision, we also set goals for ourselves. We wanted to make sure that with the process of becoming a charter school sponsor, and what makes TCC unique about being a sponsor is we wanted to make sure we have flexibility. One of the very cool things about being at a community college is that you can be so responsive to what happens in the local community. When you look at the local market demand, what do our community employers need? And we work really quickly to be able to stand up programs and be very flexible. And we wanted to make sure as a charter school sponsor, how do we also bring that to the table as well? Acceleration is very important. That is a goal that drives what we do because we know it's important. And when we talk to our local employers, they can't wait 4 and 5 and 6 years to get that talent. So how do we accelerate what we're doing with the high school in order to quickly get them the talent and skills they need and get them employed? One of the things that's also neat about Tallahassee Community College and the goals for being a sponsor is that we focus on student achievement. We bring students in no matter what level they're at, and we take them and we move them needle, economic mobility. And we provide those wraparound support services for our students that we can ensure that they remain successful. And so these are the goals that were very important for us as we were going through the journey of becoming a charter school sponsor. And so even though we are very unique as a charter school sponsor, we wanted to make sure that we had our core principles as a sponsor. So the Department of Education actually has core principles, and we are continuing to meet those principles. We want to make sure that we maintain high standards, there is autonomy when it comes to student success, and we still wanted to make sure that we were protecting the student and public interest. So even though we're looking at an alternative pathway at being a sponsor for a charter school, we also make sure that we are adhering to the principles that have already been set forth by the Department of Education. And so keeping with those principles, we also make sure that we have a very rigorous process for people that want to actually propose a charter school for us to be able to sponsor. And so this is just an abbreviated version that we have before you, but they really follow many of the rules and regulations already established by the Department of Education. So they submit an application. We have a review team at Tallahassee Community College that consists of the chief academic officer, the chief financial officer, we have a legal team. So all of that comes into play when someone from the community submits an application and asks us to sponsor their charter school. We have two rounds of interviews that we put people through so that they can talk about what they're doing and how they can be successful for students. And our team, once we're done with all of our interviews and we go thoroughly through the application, and we even use the Department of Education evaluation matrix that they have available for charter school sponsors. So like I said, we're unique, but we still follow within the guidelines with our uniqueness. So we make a recommendation to our district board of trustees, and they either approve or deny charter school applications when they're presented. So going back to this wonderful journey, so when we were awarded the $2 million from the governor, we just really got into our room and our think tank, and we started thinking, what is it that we can do that would be really cool here in our local community? And so we know that it's all about being that workforce engine. So for us, career and technical education was at the top of our list. So we wanted to create the first of its kind career and technical education charter school. And so with this charter school, our main focus, as I talked about earlier with acceleration, is that students earn a high school degree and an associate in science degree all while in high school. So when they graduate, they're ready to go into the workforce. And that's really, really unique about us. And we also wanted to have a STEM focus, science, technology, engineering, and math. We wanted to make sure that that was at the forefront of what we were doing. And so it really was important for us when we became a sponsor to make sure that whatever charter school was being envisioned or being developed, that they held these principles in mind. And so when we think about a career in technical education charter school, of course, everything, all of our associate in science degrees are open to our students. We're an open access institution, so we don't say no, ever. But one of the cool things about sponsoring a charter school is that we were able to really design the degree pathways, the STEM ones that were focused that we wanted our students to be able to go into. And so for us, it really was looking at our local need, listening to our local employers, what do they need? Cybersecurity just kept coming up. We don't have enough cybersecurity talent in the local community. So for us, we knew that that was a pathway that we wanted to highlight for our students. And so what do? We get together, we have academic mapping conversations, we streamline what counts as high school credit, what counts as college credit, so that we can get them in and get them out and get them to work. So that's very important with what we do when we think about the needs of the community. So I do have a short video that I want to show you, which kind of shows our unveiling that we went through with our name and our logo. Thank you.
I'm basically a pineapple cutting master.
Nope. Okay. Yeah, so I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to David Clark, who is our vice chair for our Collegiate Academy, while we're waiting to get the video started. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Don't you love technology? So my name is David Clark. I am the vice chair of Tallahassee Collegiate Academy, and I am also in the business world. So I own a data software company in Tallahassee, and I own a consulting company. So I consider myself the benefactor of students who are being trained and going into the community to provide gainful employment. I'm also a former United States Army Airborne officer, and training and workforce education is a key component of what makes our military great. I'm formerly a executive leader in state government, so I've been in and around the government process in Florida, so I can appreciate the challenges that come from recruiting talent and retaining talent in the state of Florida. And as Calandra mentioned, cybersecurity is a key component of that. And so I first just want to say thank you for the leadership of the legislature for envisioning what choice looks like for families and for students. I'm also the father of two sons. I have an 11-year-old and a 6-year-old. And it's frightening enough to have a middle schooler and trying to figure out what comes next. So as I was given the opportunity from our chair, Karen Moore, who sends her appreciation as well. She's traveling, couldn't be here today. It was a unique opportunity to be a part of something that is making a difference, and it's unique, but it wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for the leadership of the legislature and the governor making sure that the money and the policy was there to make this happen. So I'm going to...
TCC is the first of the FCS institutions, our first college or university in the state of Florida, to be approved as a charter school authorizer.
Tallahassee Collegiate Academy.
We are so grateful that Governor Ron DeSantis asked us to be one of five colleges in the state of Florida to stand up a public charter high school.
I'm excited about the collaboration between TCC and TCA, Tallahassee Collegiate Academy. Together, we will offer the opportunity for students to graduate with their high school diploma and their AS degree in STEM-related fields. We should all be so encouraged by this choice that Tallahassee Collegiate Academy presents to students and families, not only in Leon, but in Gadsden and Wakulla counties as well.
They're going to be ready to go straight into the workforce in high-demand, high-skill jobs. Some of them already with industry certifications in their hand, or they'll go straight on into continuing their education. Today is a game changer for our community. This new Tallahassee Collegiate Academy is going to meet both of those first in class, best in class.
All right, well, that says it all. I'm done. No, so, you know, I want to talk through what is the vision for TCA, and I'm not going to read the slide to you, but the key here is to make sure that we are empowering students to be lifelong learners and contributors to society. I think what you're seeing is a change in how education could and should be done, in making sure that students are workforce ready. And the mission was to prepare a diverse population of students for those career and higher ed opportunities through rigorous coursework and making sure that it's project-based. And I'm going to talk a little bit about what that means in project-based and give you some examples of that. But the goal here is, and you're going to hear this multiple times today, is making students future-ready. And as we all know, especially with the rise of technology, which is the focus of STEM in this academy, technology is changing the game. It's changing industries almost overnight. We've seen that happen in the last couple of years with the rise of AI, which is something that we're introducing our students to make sure they understand what's coming and what will impact the workforce around them, because many of the jobs that are around today will not be around in 5 years, but there will be a whole new playing field of jobs. So making sure we're raising up students in an agile environment is critical. So what you see here is the facility, some pictures of the facility. It is on the main campus of Tallahassee Community College, nestled here in Tallahassee, around our beautiful live oak trees. And the doors open on August 11th, and we are very excited to have the collaboration between our sponsor, TCC and TCA, and having the support system that surrounds the academy at TCC, the security, the law enforcement capabilities that TCC brings to the table has just been, it's been tremendous, and it's really been a collaboration. So this gives you a little bit of an insight into the classroom, and I want you to particularly take away, this is a math classroom, and the teacher, Ms. Griffiths, also specializes in AI, but if you notice, this room is modular in nature. So there's a lot of project-based learning, and the modular nature of these classrooms allow flexible learning environments so you can shift and you can transform these classrooms quickly. And it's very interactive with the students in order to bring speakers in order to spread the classroom out and shift things against the wall to have that kind of unique learning environment where, quite candidly, students want that, especially today. Students do not want to be preached at in a lecture-style discussion. Sorry, I'm doing that to you right now. But students want to be engaged. They want to be involved. They want to understand the why behind things, and we're giving that environment to them right now. You can see a lab environment. Again, everything's on wheels. It allows us to maximize our space and be flexible with what we have and make the best of the environment we have with reconfigurable classrooms. So here's a picture of some of the students. This is actually a day one picture. You can see they're just coming together, and there's an excitement and there's a buzz about the school. When we were putting some of the branding out in the community to let the community know there's something exciting and new coming that's really going to help your students be ready for the workforce of the future, there was just a really neat excitement, and you're going to see how that played out in some of the numbers related to the applications that we received. But friendships were definitely forming fast and furiously, especially with that project-based environment, because there's a lot of team building and collaboration that encourages students to work together and figure things out. So this is one of those examples, and you may ask, why in the world are they holding a plank, and what are their hands doing? So this is a picture of a Ducks Unlimited project, where Ducks Unlimited sponsored and provided materials so the students could build duck habitats, so they could learn about wetlands and the environment and how that interacts with the animals. And then it was hands-on, project-based. They were building duck blinds. And what they're doing with their hands is it's a duck face, right? So they're having fun with it, but we really appreciate Ducks Unlimited and other sponsors like that coming in and supporting us in our environment. So to the point of, we're allowing the students to be hands-on in the world around them, to team build and to solve for problems. So it wasn't a paint-by-the-numbers type situation. It is, here's the end goal. How do you get there? Work together in teams and figure it out. The teachers provide guidance and collaboration, but it's very much how you would operate in a real-world environment in jobs. A lot of times jobs, you don't have paint by the numbers. It's, you're kind of on-the-job training and figure it out. So we're teaching that kind of reflexive skill in the students on how do you figure it out in the real-world environment, and that's why the project-based learning is so important. This is another example. This is our cybersecurity symposium day, where the students were able to interact in a, again, project scenario where, what you can't see in this picture is, this is a very large room in the academy building, and there are tables all the way around the room, and there were teams of students, and at every table, they were presenting a different type of cyber scenario. Some were teaching what does phishing look like? Can you spot the spoof email? How would you protect your email? What are good governance policies you should have in place? And so you'd walk up and you'd engage with the students, and they'd either put you through a test or explain something to you. And it was really neat and very encouraging to see our youth at this level understanding that type of concept and at a level to be able to explain it back to you. Also, we had community leaders in the room. We had the state chief information security officer come by and speak to the students, which is just phenomenal that he was able to take the time, and really appreciate the state agency's support on that, because he was able to explain to the students what a career looks like in cybersecurity and what his pathway has been to. His name's Jeremy Rogers. He is your CISO for the state of Florida, and talk about, hey, there are internship opportunities. And in that engagement, there were two students who came up afterwards and really peppered him with a lot of good questions. And so as a result of that, he connected with those two students about internship opportunities. And that's amazing. And it's a real world example of how this is truly working. And there were local businesses who were in the room who were also providing technology on display and interacting with the students. And the truth is, they're hunting for talent. They're hunting for the talent of the future as well. And this is a feeder that gives students the opportunity to be workforce ready, They can go on to higher ed opportunities or go straight into the workforce. And I'll tell you that chart that talked about the average salary for some of these jobs. From being in the workforce right now, if I had someone who was cyber certified with a certain level of certification, I would pay them probably twice that you saw on the chart. These jobs are six-figure jobs, and they're in high demand. I'll tell you, there was some numbers that came out last week. Nationally, well, globally, we have a 4 million position deficit for cybersecurity individuals. 4 million positions, right? That's frightening when you think about what's happening in the world when it relates to cyber. So the fact that Florida is at the tip of the spear trying to create sustainable pathways for future-ready students, especially in the STEM environment, is incredible. And I give a lot of those kudos to the legislature and the wisdom that the legislature has seen to put those policies in place and back that up with budget. So thank you again for that. This is another example of an outdoor activity. So the student government organization actually put this together. So again, we put the onus on the students, let them put things together so they can engage and interact. And this was a little bit of a pumpkin painting, and let's go outside and enjoy the great weather here in Florida. And you can see the outside of the building. If you've not been to Tallahassee Community College, it's about 10 minutes from here. It's a beautiful campus. That building is indicative of what the rest of the campus looks like, but this building is dedicated to TCA with secure access, but you see the students interacting in the green space and us getting them outside and allowing them to interface. So just another example of a great opportunity. So in anything, organizations, the legislature, schools, you wouldn't be anywhere without good people. Right. So we have been very, very blessed to be able to recruit some of the best talent. So you saw a couple of people talking on the video a few minutes ago, and the one young lady who was the director of charter schools, she's actually our principal. Her name is Principal Jessica Chapman, and she has over 2 decades of teaching experience and leadership experience in Leon County Public Schools. And so she was a natural fit to come in. She's been a key part of helping this charter rise from nothing to something into the Collegiate Academy. And because of her network and because of what TCA embodies, it allows teachers to teach in a new and unique way. We have been able to recruit some really incredible talent from the school districts around us. The young lady on my far left, is, and I'm going to mess her name up. It's Assistant Principal Patricia Pagowski. We call her Pago. So VP Pago, she's incredible. And then Matt Gregory, who has over 20 years of HR experience. Just we have a small but mighty team, and we're excited about the growth that we're going to see here. And then just the teachers themselves. We have teachers who are also parents. Their children are in the school. And we've had some of those teacher parents come and present to us at board meetings, and it's phenomenal to hear the excitement. Honestly, listening to one of the teachers who presented at our last board meeting, I was like, wow, I wish I had a high school that I went to that was like that. Because you can feel the excitement and the energy that they bring to the room. And I'm sure we've all had those teachers in our lives that were impactful, and we've all had those teachers where you're like, I don't want to be in this room. And every one of those teachers are the teachers that you want to engage with. You want to be there, and they're encouraging that type of interaction with our students. So we're very blessed to have the team that we do have. And then who you're looking at right here is our officer, Chiquita Lockwood. She is a sworn police officer, and she is our dedicated resource officer for the Collegiate Academy. She's incredible, brings a lot of energy to the team and engages with the students. But the key here is the engagement that we make with our curriculum to our parents. So we want parents to understand what they're getting, to make sure that they know their students are safe, to make sure that they understand their children are being prepared for the future. So that they're not just checking a box to get a high school diploma or a GED. They're getting meaningful training, life skills that will also check the box, but then they get an AS degree capability so they can go straight into the workforce into gainful employment, because not everyone, truthfully, has the luxury of going to a university. They don't, right? And so this gives people an alternative pathway. It's choice, once again. I know this is the Choice and Innovation Subcommittee, and it's happening, right? You're what the legislature wanted to see is happening right now, and it's real, and it's working. So it's phenomenal to be a part of that. And I want to give you a quote from one of our parents of a 10th grader, and I quote, "We were really struggling with school and finding our way. I'm so glad this school opened. My daughter looks forward to coming, and that makes me so happy and excited for her. And that's just one example of parents who are like, wow, my child has come to life in a way that I've never seen before, whereby before they were trying to avoid or not want to go to school, but now they're excited on the Sunday to be like, I want to go to school. I want to see my friends. I want to be on this project. So it's really been neat to see that. So you may be asking, well, where are these students coming from? Well, these students are coming from the Tallahassee Community College's service district. So there are multiple counties that are involved in that service district. And you may be familiar with the concept of a charter school that has one district, which is typically a county. Well, TCC's service area is multiple counties. And you can see here from the breakdown of 142 total students for year one from Leon, which is the county we're in right now, Gadsden to our west, Wakulla to our south, and a few others from the surrounding areas. And you can see the breakdown of where the students are coming from, whether it's public, public charter, private homeschool, or lab charter. So it's neat to see the array of what pull we're having in order to pull the students in. So the next slide gives you a little bit of breakdown of the demographics of the students themselves. So originally, we were anticipating 100 students for year one. The legislature, again, thank goodness, allocated more funding than that to be prepared. And guess what? Good job. We needed it. We got close to 300 applications, so there was a lot more demand than anticipated. And so we worked with DOE, and we were able for year one to open that up to 200 potential students. There was a lottery system that was used, and ultimately parents are applying to many schools, right? And ultimately, we ended up with 142 students who came for year one. And we were originally focused in on ninth grade, but we saw the demand and the need for 10th graders and 11th graders. Obviously, you see the numbers drop for 10th and 11th. But there were students in both 10th and 11th who were already taking college credits and were getting prepared for the workforce. So it made a lot of sense. So we ended up with 142 students, and you can see the breakdown across 9th, 10th, and 11th grade. It was really neat, especially with a STEM focus, to see a lot of ladies coming, a lot of females who were really interested and ended up at our school. And then you can see the diversity breakdown in the bottom, which is very indicative of the community around us. So it's very exciting to see that breakdown. So college readiness is incredibly critical to the performance, right? It's great to have the school. It's great to see that it's working and we're standing up and we've got students, but how are we actually performing? That's a critical indicator. What's performance? Me in the business world, at the end of the day, if you're not performing as a business, you're not going to be a business very long. So we're tracking that performance, and I would like to bring Calandra back up to talk to you through some of these numbers and what this means and what is it an indicator of.
So thank you. So really quickly, we did our first progress monitoring window. So for those of you that are that's paying attention to what's happening as far as how we monitor students and how they're doing with achievement. So level three means that they're actually on grade level. So we had predicted that 64 would be on grade level. So we were very pleasantly surprised that we're almost close to that goal, and we've only done progress monitoring window one so far. So for 58 students being right there where they're on grade level, that allows us to be able to take those students along with the other students that are making learning gains, and we're providing what we call boot camps to them. So we're bringing them in, giving them the study skills they need so that they're ready, so that they will be ready for dual enrollment so that we can go ahead and get them started on their AS degree pathway. So we've been very excited working with the teachers, working with the students, and even looking at where they are as far as making the learning gains and where they are as far as their achievement levels.
Thank you, Calandra. So what's next? Well, now that we're well underway, we're very encouraged by the results that we're seeing. And I hope you see that excitement and that passion, and you are also encouraged because it is proof that your vision is working. And this can be replicated, and it will be replicated. There are five schools that were originally authorized to do what we're doing. We were the first one. It's good to be first. We're the first one because there's a lot of lessons learned as well, and we're learning and we're growing, and the growth is the exciting part for us. And as our students begin to matriculate through the entire high school, we're building even more excitement in the community. So I've had people reach out to me, and they're like, hey, what's this TCA thing, and how do I get involved? And my student needs help. And I had a friend last week, just kind of an anecdote here. She has a daughter who struggles in non-charter traditional schools. And she says, I need an environment where it's a little bit smaller. They're engaging differently in the classroom and it's more project-based. And I was like, ooh, you just hit a bunch of key points. Have I got a place for you? And connected them with Principal Chapman, and the person followed back up and said, thank you. I think this is the thing that my daughter needs to be successful because she's struggling and I don't like the way she's going right now. And so it was a little bit of hope. I haven't used that word before, but it was hope. The next thing is academic excellence. We want to continue to enforce and make sure that we are focused in on academic excellence. It goes back to my point about performance, because we have to make sure we're not only hitting, but we're exceeding the metrics related to what the standards are for DOE, but also the expectations of parents, right? Parents want their children. I want my children. I'm sure many of you who are parents want your children to go into the workforce and be gainfully employed or start businesses or interact with their society and lift, right? All ships rise on rising tides. So how do we all work together to lift the community? So academic excellence is a key pillar of what we're doing. So we're focused on that, and not that will not suffer while we're growing. And then lastly, we want to ensure that we're creating those sustainable pathways to good careers. Careers, as I mentioned previously, are changing rapidly, especially in the new technological environment and with the rise of AI and machine learning and things like that. How do we stay on top of that? Well, we have to become more agile in our academic institutions. And this is a great example of policy that this legislative body has passed to ensure that we are being agile and we, at the end of the day, are future ready, because that's what this is all about. We want to make sure our students, the future leaders of Florida, who will sit in our seats and perhaps your seats one day, are future ready and are prepared for what comes down the road. And the STEM environment that TCA, with the support of our sponsor TCC, has created is truly just that. So I would once again say thank you for your leadership and your vision in creating an environment that we hope that you see that it's working. We hope that you continue to support organizations like our charter and charter schools in general that give parents and students choice, because that choice is what matters, that allows them to pick the right environment for their student, their child, to grow and be ready for the future that they will face. Thank you very much, and I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you very much for that presentation. Members, are there any questions? Oh, Ranking Member Valdez, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you very much for the presentation. I love seeing the excitement of your presentation. It's just, when you're kid-centric, I get it. I have several questions, Mr. Chair, so I'll try and lump them in a category, if you will. So I see that you enroll your students by a lottery system. So in your demographic chart, I notice that there are no Hispanic students. So was there any Hispanic student that applied that maybe lost the lottery?
You're recognized.
Thank you. So we actually did not turn any students away. Anyone that applied that actually followed through and was ready to come in, and when I say ready, meaning 9th, 10th, 11th grade, we accepted them. So, you know, it's all about school choice. And so some students decided that they wanted to go elsewhere, but we did not turn any students away that wanted to come to the school.
Follow-up? Ranking Member?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. So what is the criteria? So when you're going through the process of choosing the students, what is the criteria to be able to apply to go to the Collegiate Academy at Tallahassee?
You're recognized.
Thank you. So because this was our first time and we're unique, even as a charter school sponsor, we're open access. And so that is something that we passed down to the charter school, is that when we worked with the parents, we pretty much said, hey, even if the student isn't on grade level, we will work with them to get them on grade level. So when you talk about criteria, we went into this and we did not have any, because we wanted all students to have an opportunity to participate in this unique opportunity.
Follow-up? Ranking Member, any follow-up?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr.
Please.
Chair. So I see that you serve students outside of Leon County, which is great. Have you ever considered thinking about Jefferson County And how do you transport, or is that something that it's the parents' responsibility to get them there?
You're recognized.
So at this time for transportation, we are working with the parents. So we've really opened the door to say, what do you need? And so we're working with parents. As of right now, most of them have wanting to drop them off as they're on their way to work and back. As far as working with students outside of our service area, as I said, we're open with our service area. So if there is a student that does want to come, we work with them. Our president has a great relationship with the president in North Florida, at North Florida College in Jefferson County. So there's a lot of conversations that take place. So if there's a parent that really wants their child to come here, we work to make sure that there's not going to be any problems so that they can take advantage of the opportunity.
Great. Ranking member, any other?
Yes,
questions?
I do. Yes,
please.
I do. Thank you, sir. So do you offer mentorship for the students? Do you partner with local businesses? And what kinds of jobs, because you mentioned many different jobs that might go away that we're preparing for. So what kinds of jobs would those be?
So the
you're recognized, sir.
Thank you, sir. So the focus of this school is STEM specifically, mm-hmm. right? It's the jobs of the future. When the provost was speaking earlier about sitting down and TCC thought about what should we be offering to the Charter Academy students and what curriculum nests well, what we're seeing is the need in the service district. The focus was the jobs of the future. So we're doing that already, but what I was emphasizing was the fact that we're agile in our curriculum, we're agile in how we're teaching the students, so we can flex very quickly. The jobs that are available in the community are focused on the areas that we referred to. So once again, it's STEM. Cybersecurity, I really drilled in on that one because there's a tremendous need in state government. There's a tremendous need in private sector right now for those type of qualified individuals. I work with a lot of cybersecurity companies, and I can tell you some of the CEOs and the executives, they've literally told me, they're like, David, the person doesn't need a four-year degree. It's like they need certifications and they need to understand the basics. We will teach them everything else. We just need warriors who are in the fight, who understand the basics of cyber. So when we hear things like that from those community leaders, from those companies, that's what we're really focused on. And those are the type of jobs.
Thank you. One last question.
Please.
Thank you. What kinds of supports do you give the students? They might be struggling in a subject because, you know, you're taking college courses in high school, right? So it's kind of challenging. So what kind of supports do we have available for these students when they come up with a barrier?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We have counselors who are within the school. We have resource officers and we have counselors who walk students through any challenges. Because we're a small team right now, there's a lot of interaction between the leadership at the Charter Academy, between the principal, the assistant principal, sitting down with not just the students, but the parents. We want to make sure that the parents are intimately involved in those conversations. So we're not just talking to the student so that the parent's aware, because there's two sides to this, right? It's not just what's going on in the school, it's what's going on in the home environment. So we want to make sure that the parents are on board with and understand, so they're reinforcing. So we come alongside the students in a big way with counselors, with the teachers, and the leadership from the school.
Okay, make it a quick one, please. We've got to get to our next.
I thought this would
I know this
be
is
my
a passion
last
of
one,
yours.
But this will
please
be,
go ahead.
This would be the last one.
Go ahead.
So, thank you, Mr. Chair, for your grace. When we look at, as we sit up here and we're creating different kinds of pathways for our students to reach the goal of earning a high school diploma, and we're focusing here on a technical career. I know that our kids, I know that you'll do a great job to get them to hopefully reach the benchmark of being able to pass the new standard of the high ACT Concordance score and SAT Concordance score. Having said that, because we have created so many different pathways for students and having this one blanket score that everyone has to meet in order to achieve that standard high school diploma concerns me a little bit, because sometimes in technical students that are in technical courses and their intention is not going to college, therefore may not be able to reach that benchmark. How are the strategies that you're taking, or if you've had that conversation, because they're freshmen now, right? So you have a little time. But what are some of the strategies and best practices that you feel are working that maybe the students in the traditional public schools and other charter high schools can really learn from you?
You are recognized.
Thank you. So we are taking a lot of time with project-based learning. So one of the things that has really worked for us well, even for the at-risk students we see on the college level, is really giving students that hands-on attention that they need, giving them the one-on-one attention that they need, and we do that well. And that's something that we've been able to provide to the Collegiate Academy. We have lots of students who, and you talked about mentoring, who've walked in the shoes of a lot of these students, so they're there to provide that one-on-one tutoring, mentoring, and coaching. So we're spending a lot of time with the students, making sure that we're getting them to the level that they need. And another thing that we're doing is we're also focused on making sure that the students are doing, so it's career and technical education, but we're also weaving in a lot of the gen ed state core requirements when you think about college, because we do want them to be able to move forward. If you decide that, okay, the social and science degree, I'm happy for that, but I really want to do a bachelor's, we're still preparing them so that they'll be ready to go. So we're really providing, as he was saying, a lot of wraparound services. So it's a lot of counseling, a lot of tutoring, and it's a lot of coaching in order to help the students get to the finish line.
Thank you. Thank you for that. And we do have a few representatives that do have questions. I'm just going to ask that we be brief. We need to move on in about 7 minutes onto our next presentation. So I'll ask for the questions and the responses to be as brief as possible, please. We will go to Representative Porras. You are recognized for a question, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And can I just say what an honor it is to serve in your committee as your former legislative aide?
I'm at a loss for words. Thank you, Representative.
Thank you guys so much for this presentation. I was just curious, you know, since from the inception to where we are today, obviously, we've realized kind of a lot of the advantages of these programs. So I'd just like to ask, I mean, where do you see some of the pitfalls? Is there any sort of legislation you can recommend, you know, this body, so that we can keep improving and keep, you know, allowing you guys to succeed?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to keep it brief. This is new. It's a start. And we're learning a lot. We're growing a lot. I think there's a lot of lessons learned that we can come back to you with to help maybe inform some of those discussions of what future legislation can look like. I will tell you, you know, as we grow, there's going to be resource implications as a result of that. And so that will also help inform what do we need as it relates to policy and or budget.
Thank you. Representative Porras, any follow-up? Thank you. Representative Waldron, you are recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have two really quick questions. One is, I noticed the number of boys is less than the girls, and I think that's great that there's a lot of girls interested, but I notice more and more that in almost every college major you're seeing majority are female. So I actually am a little bit concerned about the differential here, and I'm wondering if you have noticed it and if there's any outreach you could do to maybe encourage more boys to apply.
You're recognized.
So we're doing everything we can to recruit. As David Clark mentioned, we're new. We're new. So even as we go to different areas and we recruit, as we talk to parents, even as we talk to our community college students who are also parents, we're working with them to say, hey, do you have an eighth grader or ninth grader? So we're doing all of that as we go through the process. So we're setting up mentoring programs in the local community to try to work with those numbers, but they really do mimic what we're seeing right now in higher ed. Unfortunately.
Thank you. Rep. Walter, another one?
One other thing I've noticed, I've been told, is there's a lack of people trained in electronic vehicles. And I'm wondering if you've got programs related to that or if you're thinking about that.
Recognize.
Yes, we actually have an AS degree in unmanned vehicle technology that's launching in January. And so the Collegiate Academy students will have the opportunity to enroll in that as well.
That's fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you, Rep. Walden. Representative Dunkley, you are recognized for questions.
Thank you, Chair, and it is an honor to serve with you as my chair, too.
Speechless again.
I am very excited. I'm sitting back here literally wanting to jump out of my seat because I am very CTE advocate and supporter of what this initiative does for students. And I want to applaud you for the work and for taking on the challenge to bring this kind of innovation and choice to parents and students alike. And a couple of my questions were asked, but I'm going to go ahead and ask the one. And I heard what Rep. Waldron talked about, the new different programs. How have you made in your plans for flexibility, for other programs to participate, having hearing from your students? Because I'm sure everyone, yes, it's a STEM focus, but how have you carved out in your plan to create that flexibility for other students who may have other interests as well?
You're recognized.
So one of the things that we're doing is that we are really focused on one-on-one. We do a lot of that. And so when students and parents come to us and say, hey, I want to do dental, or hey, I think I want to do nursing, we sit down and work and map out a plan for them. So we let them know we're not boxing them in. We want them to do STEM focus, but we let them know that everything we have available at TCC is open to the Collegiate Academy students.
Thank you. Follow up. Thank you, Representative. It's also an honor to serve with you. And now we will move to Representative Amnesty. You are recognized for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's truly extraordinary to hear all the great things you guys are doing, specifically with high school and the now post-secondary. One of the questions I have in regards to the Associate of Science is there any specific articulation agreements that perhaps you're working on or you currently have for students that have an Associate of Science or will have an Associate of Science with your institution and later on want to continue on the post-secondary track towards a Bachelor's of Science?
Thank you. So yes, we are required as a post-secondary institution to have an articulation where we call it the AS to the BS. And we actually offer bachelor degree programs ourselves. So we do 2+2 with ourselves, which sounds kind of weird, but students, we do work it out and we map it out and we make sure that the students have what they need with their gen ed so that if they do decide to switch course and go to a university, there is be a seamless transfer.
Thank you. Any follow-up on that? No? Thank you. Do we have a question from Representative Baker? Yes? Could we just make it as brief as possible to keep on moving?
Yes,
I gotta
thank
get
you, Mr.
to someone
Chair.
Quickly. Thank you.
Regarding AI, can you expand upon, if you're able to, what are students being taught in AI? Where does the curriculum come from? Are there any regulations surrounding what students are being taught in the AI area?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. It's basic principles of AI. It's more of making awareness of what the technology is, not getting into the application or the implications of it, just general awareness of the technology and that it's out there in the world. We want them to not be surprised when they hear about how AI is being implemented.
Thank you. And we will now go to Representative McLean. You are recognized, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What's the funding model? Money goes directly to the college for the student?
Recognized.
Yes.
Thank you.
That was brief. Thank you. And Representative McLean, may I say thank you. You are one of the reasons why I am here. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Very well. I don't think that we have any other questions. Thank you for an engaging presentation. That was fantastic. I think you see by the number of questions that it's exciting and you're doing a fantastic job, may I say. Thank you very much for the presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Members, we will now move to a presentation from the Florida Institute for Charter Innovation at Miami-Dade College. Presenters today from the Institute include Mr. Fermin Vasquez, North Campus President, Miami-Dade College, Ms. Susie Carreño, Executive Director, Florida Institute for Charter School Innovation, Ms. Catherine Perkins, Executive Deputy Director, Teaching, Learning, and Leadership, Mr. Curtis Fuller, Executive Deputy Director, LEA and Support, and Ms. Jenna Hodgins, Executive Deputy Director, Authorizing. Thank you very much for being here. Members of the Institute, you are recognized to present. President Vasquez, please.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Committee. This is a unique and special moment for me to be able to present what the Florida Charter Institute has been up to in the last year. Before I start, I'd like to recognize my colleagues at TCC, Provost Stringer and President Murdaugh, because of the fantastic job they've been doing and being the first to be able to launch their academy. A great success story and congratulations. Again, thank you for this unique opportunity to be able to present on the Florida Charter Institute for School of Innovation and the many activities that we have already launched and are building to support our schools and education overall. First of all, I would like to extend greetings from our college president, Ms. Madeline Pumariega, and our board chair, Michael Beleca, which had wanted to be here today, though due to travel and scheduling conflicts, they were not able to make it this morning. I want to also take a moment to thank the Secretary of Education, Manny Diaz Jr., for his support and vision of making Florida a leader in education at all grade levels, and his support of the Florida Charter Institute of Innovation that we refer to humbly and lovingly as FCI for short. Miami-Dade College has completely embraced and is supporting FCI at all levels. To make FCI the think tank and supporting division of charter schools in our beloved state. At Miami-Dade College, we not only serve over 120,000 students, but we also have a focus on providing access and solutions to our community. We also launched our very own collegiate CTE high school this year in partnership with Academica. At our Wilson campus, where hundreds of students will be able to access high-quality education while earning an AS degree in several technology pathways. Our college has a high level of expectations for all of us. And thus, FCI was created, we knew that we had to perform and deliver at the same high level, if not higher. Thus, we have been able to build a team of experts in their own regard to ensure that the schools we serve and support in our state receive the very best support possible with a world-class experience to anyone engaging with FCI. I know time is limited, and thus today we will hear from our team members and a champion in charter school education, our executive director, Ms. Susie Miller Carrillo. Know that MDC's FCI is a top priority and will continue to do so in contributing towards the best education system in our nation. Now our executive director will continue on with the presentation, and thank you once again, Chairman Rizzo, for your leadership and all the committee members here today for your support.
Hello, good morning. It's really great to be here. We're going to move pretty quickly so you can hear the real fun stuff. But we're starting with statute today because if it weren't for the wisdom put into this statute, we wouldn't be here and be able to report to you on the fabulous challenges that we've undertaken and the ones yet to come. So we've got some exciting and substantive work. There's a very long statute. We've distilled it down. This is kind of our driving purpose, is to serve as the premier hub for charter excellence, sponsor excellence, insight, providing research-based best practices and driving those out to teacher leaders, to building leaders, ultimately in pursuit of supporting students. And the team has been introduced. You'll see a few of us later, so we're going to skip past that. This is a distillation of the purposes of the Institute that were set forth for us and gives a high-level overview both of our presentation today, but also of the work that we're doing. First and foremost, teaching, learning, and leadership is the most important thing, right? Policy is fabulous. Great assessments programs are super important in terms of knowing where kids are, countable, credible, replicable ways to also show the other kind of non-standardized test achievements that schools have made. And we have a lot of those examples across Florida. So we're very excited to be here and share with you about that. Support for schools, charters. We actually like all schools. We don't care what the label is. So we welcome teachers from all schools, leaders from all schools for a lot of the support work that we're doing. And then lastly, as you just heard about from our fabulous colleagues at TCC, they were number one, but we actually got approved to sponsor charter schools just on November 1st. So we're looking forward to engaging in that activity. And then embedded through all of this is just really research into what is working well in Florida, what we want to share out, kind of where we might want to tweak, and give some extra thinking about ways to do even more strong academic programs for kids. So with that, we're going to start with the exciting stuff. Catherine Perkins, who's our Executive Deputy Director for Teaching, Leading, and Learning.
Thanks, everyone. It's so much fun to be here to represent the work of our teaching, learning, leadership pillar of the Institute, and to talk through everything we've accomplished really since our launch, which was, I'd call it the soft launch, was back in June of this year, and then our plans for moving forward, and we have lots coming up. I want to start with the inspiration behind our approach, with two graphs up here that tell a local story here in Florida and a national story as well that everyone in this room knows and knows well. If you look at the graph on the left, you see 2019 Florida literacy performance with the clear trend that as the student population earning free and reduced lunch increases at a school, you see literacy proficiencies decrease. The opposite but same story is true on the right as family, and this is a national study from the NWEA in 2018, that tells us that as family income increases, we also see that corresponding jump in achievement. And I think what our team fundamentally believes, and I know everyone in this room believes as well, is that that shouldn't be the case, that trend shouldn't exist. And so we also get inspiration from this graph and from these charts, because we see these outliers at all different points, right? And so represented here in the orange circles, but also schools that you all have been in and seen yourselves, schools where learning and curiosity and intellect are happening for kids and being made accessible to all students. We are obsessed with these outliers. That is what gets us up in the morning. That is what inspires the work that we do in the teaching, learning, leadership side of our work, because we ask ourselves constantly, what's happening here? What's working? How can we study it? How can we codify it? How can we disseminate it? How can we get it to more schools across this state? And so we're doing that in a number of ways. I'll highlight three today, though I think that that mindset really permeates our work in all aspects. The first is all of our programmatic offerings are grounded in research-based, clinically proven, nationally recognized teacher and leader development practices. And so to name a few that inspire our approach, the work of Teach Like a Champion, who has really become one of the preeminent ed trainers across the country over the last, I'd say, 15 years or so, led by founder Doug Lamov, who is something of a celebrity in the world of education. Leverage Leadership, which has really become synonymous with excellent leaders across the country. It's a rigorous set of coursework. And ultimately, you can get sort of accredited as a leader who achieves certain levels within this framework and get better faster. And so these are just three of the frameworks that inspire our trainings and our offerings across teaching and leadership. We're also bringing that research closer to home. So we're conducting the Florida Top Schools Survey. It's happening currently. It's where we're really digging into the top 5% of charter schools based on their performance last year. They're starting with an instructional survey. What are they doing? What are their practices that they really credit their student results with? And then we're following up there with walkthroughs and interviews of leaders and eventually filming as well at some of those top schools so that, again, we can really universalize those practices and then disseminate them more broadly across the teachers and leaders that we get to work with as part of FCI. The third is an innovative new approach that I'm really excited about. We're studying what's working in higher education teacher training and asking ourselves how we can equip teachers to be as effective for their students as quickly as possible. And this is one of those places where it's wonderful to get the chance to work with MDC. So one place where MDC has tackled this in a sort of parallel effort is something called their Teach Up program. It's where they're working with college juniors and seniors who are pursuing an ed degree. They're sort of adding in some of these nationally recognized development techniques for a subset of their students. And then what FCI is going to get the opportunity to do is follow up and study the performance of those teachers. Where are they placed? How long do they stick around in the world of ed? How are their students performing, most importantly, so that we can again codify what works in teacher training, what is setting up future teachers to be successful for their students. We're then taking all of that research and we're applying it across our offerings from TLL, and I'll bucket these just into four groups of our work: workshops, working groups, the forthcoming Institute Fellows, and school support as well. Workshops I've mentioned briefly. These are sort of our larger scale training opportunities that we offer teachers and leaders across the state. We've had the chance for, so far, just since June, 5-day-long workshops led, again, by some of those top names nationally. Teach Like a Champion and Leverage Leadership have both come. We've trained nearly 300 teachers and leaders across Florida already via those workshops, and we have plans to continue them as we approach the start of the 24-25 school year. Sounds crazy to be saying that, but we are already planning for those spring and summer sessions. And so we're excited to continue those partnerships and bring large groups of the state together to really receive best-in-class training. The second offering we're providing over the course of the year are working groups. This year, we have a teacher group and a leader group working on core tenets of their instructional practice. So for a teacher, that might be how to facilitate rich discussion with your students. For a leader, that might be how to look at student work and use it to drive instruction, or how to coach teachers at your school to be using their data effectively. And then coming up in 24-25, we're excited to grow the working group, specifically that leader end, into what we'll call the Institute Fellows. That'll be a group of promising and high-achieving leaders across the state, and we'll be focusing on kind of the 201 components of their development. Things like how to lead successful adult learning at your schools, maybe how to run new and innovative intervention programs for students who are struggling at your schools. Those types of practices and supports will be what we'll focus on there. And then the most flexible of our offerings is just direct school support, right? Working with leaders in a variety of capacities. It could be a walkthrough followed up with some action planning with leaders, or it could be co-writing, co-facilitating professional development for a department or a group of faculty at a school. And so we'll do that with leaders who are excited to partner with us and who we're excited to partner with. And so this is where I would just ask for your help as well. There are ways to get involved, and we're so excited to be sort of expanding the group that we're serving in the coming months as we really get up and running. And so if you have people in your communities who you think would be interested in the teaching, learning, leadership opportunities, the two key ways that those folks can get involved are by joining these working groups. They are underway as of the last couple of weeks, but we would be excited to welcome people that you would recommend and think would grow and benefit and learn from that work. And then, of course, looking ahead to that summer programming that I talked about, we already have plans to bring some of these key groups back down to Florida in June and July. And so encouraging schools and leaders in your communities to publicize that, to send groups of their teachers. We think these will be really exciting moments of lots of growth and development for the teachers and leaders that we are so excited to serve. And so with that, I will pass over to Curtis, who is going to guide us through additional support opportunities that FCI provides.
Good morning, thank you. So where Catherine focused a lot on instruction and leadership and teaching skills, I get to focus more on the operational sides of schools and sponsorships. So as part of our support offerings through the Florida Charter Institute, we kind of have a three-pronged approach to what we're looking at. One is to provide support directly to charter schools and to be a source where they can get the best practice information. We're also looking at supporting district sponsors. There tend to be a lot of turnover and things that happen in the offices that oversee charter schools at districts. So there's always a continuing need for support and education for those people. So we're going to work with other groups to try to do that. And then also working with groups like TCC and other colleges who are looking at becoming sponsors, who want to be higher education sponsors and helping to provide resources and services to them to be able to do that work effectively. So my main job for the last 10 years or so has been working with the Charter Support Unit. Back in 2012, the Department of Education realized that there was a significant need for supporting charter schools in their early first few years. When you look at charter schools that fail, the majority of the ones that fail, fail in their first 5 years. So we put together the support unit as part of the federal CSP program, and the support unit has been offering a wide variety of operational supports over the last 10 years, and we're going to fold that under FCI. So FCI becomes the single hub for everything that is best practice for charter schools. So this brings with us the ability we've been doing. We have a support hotline schools can call. If we don't know the answer, we'll help put them in touch with somebody who does. We'll go out and consult with schools. We do webinars almost every week on different topics that are important to new schools. We have a podcast that we've started where we're interviewing high-performing school leaders, talking about what it is that makes their schools unique and what their leadership does. We have a library of over 200 documents on our website that schools can go to just steal from, like a policy manual, or if they need a purchase order form or anything like that, they can just go to our website to find all of that. We do school reviews, training for schools that are opening next August. So we just started a new cohort for our launch year training of any school that's opening next August. We're going to meet with them every month and say, hey, now's about the time that you should be starting to think about hiring a principal. Here's some tips on where you can go to find those people or interview questions or whatnot. So we try to be as supportive as we can to those schools in their first few years. So that's the first prong, supporting charter schools. The second prong is looking at the best practices in sponsorship. So we are working with several national organizations and trying to learn from their best practices, such as the State University of New York, the Colorado Charter Institute, Michigan's Center for Charter Schools. We've been pulling as much as we can from the way they practice and the way they do things, trying to find what are the best practices nationwide. And then we're working with groups like FACSA here in Florida and saying, what are we already doing in this state as part of our district sponsorship programs? And what can we do to supplement what is currently being offered to be able to be more supportive for sponsors as well? The other thing that we have been spending time with is the A-Game. This is a federal grant-sponsored program that looks at, as a sponsor, how can you look at a charter school that maybe is filling a unique need? Maybe it's a CTE school, or maybe it's a special education school. How do you know if they're really meeting their mission, and what kind of goals can you put in place above and beyond state assessment data that really tells you whether or not that school is meeting their mission? So we're working with the A-Game to develop a criteria that we'll use as we become a sponsor through MDC eventually to help to monitor schools. And then the last prong of what we're doing is we're looking at trying to provide additional supports and services to colleges. So there are several colleges in the state that are considering higher education institutes that are considering becoming sponsors in the state right now. So we would like to learn from the experiences of TCC. And as we move into becoming a sponsor, what are the pain points that we have experienced and how can we help to ease that for new schools and new higher institutions that are going into this realm, so that way, just like for schools, we have that library of 200 documents. Maybe we can create something very similar for colleges and universities who want to become sponsors as well. So that is how we're trying to do the support side. In addition to that, we're also researching, because everything that we put out, we want to be found a foundation in best practices and what the research says is effective. So as part of our startup process for FCI, we received several of the CSP grants from the Department of Education to research very specific things. So we've done public records requests to all of the districts and gotten every charter application that's been submitted over the last 5 years. And we're evaluating what are the common things, where are those groups that are trying to apply for charter schools, where do they need more training? What can we do to support groups to make sure that they're putting the best foot forward in terms of their application? We are currently analyzing all of the charter school audits that have been done over the last 5 years. We've taken all of the data and put it into a big database, and we're trying to compare that to school performance. Of the schools that are A's versus the schools that are F's, what are the spending patterns difference between those schools? And then we'll be able to use that to do additional training on best practices regarding finance. We are looking at LEA responsibilities. We're looking at teacher pipeline things, and we're trying to pull together some research about what's actually happening here in Florida. And on the right side of this slide, I'm not going to go through them because there's a lot there, but we have lots of other research areas that we would like to look at in the future. So I mentioned schools that close in Florida, they tend to close in their first 5 years. There's never really been a lot of research done on why are those schools closing. So that would be a really great research project for us to take a look at. What can we do to make sure that that doesn't happen in the future? And with that, I'm going to hand it over to our third department, which is our sponsoring department, and Ms. Jenna Hodgins.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here, and I'm so grateful for you allowing us this time today. So first, I'd like to tell you that there's three pathways to have an application approved now. There's the traditional district application. You can submit, an individual or a group can submit to a district an application to be approved to be a charter school. And what happens in that situation is they submit it, district staff reviews that application, and every district does it differently. So you can imagine if you're an applicant that applies around the state, you have all different ways that you need to figure out how what's going to happen when you get inside the district. The staff makes a recommendation to the superintendent, and then the superintendent recommends to the board, and the application is either approved or denied. If it is approved, then they go into a contract and they become the sponsor of that charter school. The second way is the Florida Review Commission, which is a new, this was created by the legislature. It's a 7-member appointed commission. They were appointed at the October 18th State Board of Education meeting, and they applicants will submit to them as well as the school district that they want to open in, and that commission will review those applications, make a decision for approval or denial, and if it is approved, it will go back to the school district where the school will open, and the district will contract with them, and the district will be the sponsor for those schools. And then the third, and most exciting for me, is the Higher Education Institute. And there are two in the state, and you heard from TCC today, and as Furman said, we are very excited to be the second, Miami-Dade College is the second one to get approval to be a sponsor for charter schools. And that happened on November 1st, so we're really new. And so we are right now, the Institute is gonna perform all the sponsoring duties for Miami-Dade College. And so we are currently creating our first request for applications, and we're preparing that, and we'll only be sponsoring schools that are in the Miami-Dade service area. And we'll serve as the LEA for all of those schools that we sponsor. And we want to make sure that we provide an environment, and I think you're going to smile at this one, an environment of support. And as you heard, we have so much training going on with teachers and leaders, Curtis with his support unit. So we want schools to take root and thrive and be very successful because they have our babies in them. Our students are there, and we want them to be successful. And we're currently working with national organizations such as the Charter School Institute and other national associations that work with sponsors to make sure that we are doing best practices. And as we create these best practices, we're going to share them across the sponsoring community. So with the Florida Association of Charter School Authorizers and anyone else that is authorizing schools, like our friends at TCC. Thank you. I think you're up, Suze. I'll turn it back over to Susie.
Well, thank you again. I hope some of the excitement about what we've been able to start and get on the ground and rocking and rolling has come through, and we have big, big plans for the future. We think being partnered with Miami-Dade College is an extraordinary opportunity for us. You heard a little bit about the teacher preparation programs and the work that we're doing there. We also think there's some opportunities to expand both college and career, kind of following the alumni of high-quality charter schools and really capturing additional data about how their lives have been changed by the opportunities that Florida's education system provides. So with that, any of the team is ready to answer questions.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Carrillo. Thank you very much for that presentation. Members, we shall now open it up to questions. First question, Representative Chambliss, you are recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So my name is State Representative Kevin Chambliss. It's a pleasure to meet you guys. I represent House District 117 in the Homestead, Florida City area, where I'm proud to partner with Miami-Dade College Homestead and Miami-Dade Kendall on several projects throughout the year. You guys are great community partners and community leaders, and I'm really excited about this new announcement because I listened to their presentation and I was thinking Miami-Dade College the whole time. That's a very exciting opportunity. My question is, do you have any idea which one of the campuses will be home or potential home to the new charter school, if that is the way that you'll go through? You have one of the campuses Obviously, I might be a little biased, being that I represent Homestead.
Thank you for that question. President Vasquez, you're recognized.
Through the chair, thank you. Representative, thank you for that question. And yes, we've already designated the Wolfson campus at this time as a CTE high school to open. We opened its doors in fall, but there's potential, right? We are a very large county, and there could be potential in other areas of the county. With eight campuses and several centers, you've got to believe that we have some possibility to expand.
Thank you, sir. Follow up?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do ask that however I can be helpful, wherever you are. We are all 305, and so let me know what I can do. Thank you.
Thank you. I do believe now we're going to go to our Vice Chair, Michael. Vice Chair Michael, you are recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This question is for President Vasquez as well. I was hoping I could catch you before you sat down. And I want to say I am from Northeast Florida, Duval County, Jacksonville. I would love to have this here, there. I knew when we discussed school choice and charter schools, that charter schools would be, and charter education would be filling a huge void and a necessary proponent for underserved communities. And I'm just excited about what I'm seeing. But my question is, for you, it was mentioned earlier about the research component of FCI. President Vasquez, how do you see students engaged in an undergrad research at FDC?
You recognize.
Through the chair, thank you so much. Representative Michaels, once again, thank you for that question. So embedded in undergraduate research at Miami-Dade College is just part of what we do every single day. Out of our School of Science, we have many different opportunities. We're expanding that to all the disciplines. We've taken STEM, moved it to STEAM, and education is now being included. Part of FCI brings a unique opportunity for us because of all the research and the focus around the research of education for our children in the classroom. And I want to expand a little bit upon that question and say, you know, we have a focus at Miami-Dade College to expand the teacher pipeline. Our commissioner set out on early on as he was charged to become a commissioner to increase that talent pipeline here of teaching. And we've taken a three-prong approach. We've done it through expanding our professional development with our teachers. Today, we're missing one of our team members, but a key team member, Dr. Paul Powell. He's a scholar, and you heard Catherine Perkins say about what we're doing with our School of Education, embedding that professional development, not only in our students that are graduating, but we're also extending that to our school system, our charter schools, and anybody that like to take on those workshops and grow. In addition to that, we know that recently the internship program in the state of Florida, thank you legislators for supporting that and our school board of education supporting that. That is something that we are looking to expand upon and start offering as soon as possible because we need to provide as many pathways as possible. And our residency program that we've had now for a couple of years. Again, that was championed and supported by our legislature, and that's been in action and working already. And we're just looking forward to our education partners in our community to continue to expand those offerings. So hopefully I got to answer your question, Rep.
Thank you. Thank you. Actually, you answered my question too, which was that how your College of Education is collaborating with FCI and how you're kind of directing all that. So you answered a bunch of questions with that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rob.
We now go to the illustrious Representative Porras for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Mr. Vasquez. I know you came a long way, all the way from District 119, being my constituent from West Kendall. So thank you so much. I mean, Miami-Dade College never ceases to not impress. I mean, the presentation you guys have had today, the students that I met with earlier this week, I mean, it's incredible what you guys do for our community, so thank you. I'd like to make the same question of you I did to our colleagues over at TCC. I mean, what can we do, I think, as a legislature to ensure you guys are progressing and improving moving forward in the next couple years?
You're recognized.
Through the chair, thank you once again. And Representative Porras, it is an honor that you're my rep and where I live, so thank you so much. I think that as we move on, we're going to be learning a lot about the research and the deep dive that we're going into the data. I look forward to having many briefs to be able to share with the legislature, to be able to create good policy towards expanding the opportunities for students everywhere, not only in Miami-Dade County, but in our beautiful state of Florida. I think that's one. And then the other one, continuing to support us financially. I got to say, in the last few years, this legislature has been fantastic to education, not only to Miami-Dade College, but overall. And I really thank the governor for his leadership, the legislature, and our commissioner, because hands down, every time we raise our hand and we say, look, this is a pocket of need, you guys stand up and say, we're here for you. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And for the record, he is from West Kendall, not the north side of the Dade County.
Okay. Thank you for that distinction, Representative. Thank you. Thank you. Well, with that, we've run out of time. Thank you all. Thank you to all of our presenters. Thank you for just fantastic presentations. I think you see from the engagement from this committee that I think we're doing a fantastic job with what we've set forth to do over the last few years. And the future seems to be very, very bright. Members, that concludes today's agenda. Seeing no other business before the subcommittee, Representative Chambliss moves that we rise without objection. The meeting is adjourned.